Christian behavior. If you will, turn to John chapter 15. The guidelines that Jesus has laid out for us and how to behave as Christians. The key behind how to behave is so that we can be a good example to the world that is watching us. Because they will look at a Christian as their example, as someone to be a guideline for them or their behavior. Really, they shouldn't be looking at Christians for that. They ought to be looking directly at the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as all of us, you know, we have sometimes have a tendency to, all of us Christians have a tendency to lift up or to look at another Christian, a senior Christian, or a Sunday school teacher, or a pastor, or a deacon, or someone as an example to live by. But we should never do that. We should always look to Jesus Christ as our example. Not to any man down here amongst us today as an example. We can learn and be encouraged by seeing someone's life. We can see the good and the bad in someone's life and learn from both of them. Be encouraged by the good and godly things you see in someone's life, but don't be too terribly discouraged when you see something ungodly occurring in someone's life and back off your service of the Lord because you see someone else fail. I know people that have done that. They've lifted somebody up as their model to behave after, and they're watching them, and then they fall or they mess up, and instead of learning what not to do by that example, they take it the other direction and say, well, if he couldn't do it, I know I can't do it, and they back off and they quit serving the Lord. I've seen that happen personally in people I know. So never do that. If you put too much faith in man, you'll be disappointed. You got to put your faith in Jesus Christ and let Him be our prime example of our Christian behavior. But He was teaching the disciples in John chapter 15. Let's get right into it here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Another very important point. We have to stay attached to the Lord. We have to keep that flow of food, which is His Word, the water that we need, which is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and that communications that we need, that connection, because when we become Christians, we receive the Holy Ghost. That ties us directly to God the Father by way of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, gives us that opportunity to have the communications directly with God Almighty. Just like we said so many times about the tabernacle and the section of the Holy of Holies in the temple there in Jerusalem, with the crucifixion when it was rent from the top to the bottom, as Jesus was giving up the ghost, that veil was rent. And that was representational of that there was no more separation between man and God. And we have to be tied in. If you're not tied in, you're going to wither and die, just like a branch that's been cut off of the vine. It won't produce fruit. In verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. you become useless, worthless, to be thrown into fire and burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So if we stay tied in, and as it says, abide in Him, and His words are from the Scripture, so we've got to stay attached to the Word of God. Continually study the Word of God. And listen to the influence of the Holy Ghost within us. And we will bear the fruits of a Christian and be His disciples. His disciples are His students. His students, what do you have to do as a student? You have to study. How do you study? You study it through prayer and studying His Word, reading the Word of God. In verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Critical part for Christians, that love. In verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Automatically, when some people read this part, they think they go back to the Ten Commandments. Or they go back to the 600 and some odd commandments, statutes, regulations of the Old Testament. You cannot fulfill them all. Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to fulfill the law, in essence. So we cannot. Continuing, it says, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. He did everything the Lord wanted him to do down here as a man. And all power is given unto him. And now we must do what He asks of us. Instead of going down into all the little details of the commandments, He narrows them down. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now we know He's given the two great commandments, an example in previous scriptures about putting God Almighty first. If we put God Almighty first, love Him amongst everything else, and then this new commandment that He gives us to love one another, then all the other commandments are all within that. Because if you love someone truly, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to murder them. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to lie against them. You're not going to commit false witness against them. If you emphasize that love, all of it's going to overflow and dominate all the commandments that were in the Old Testament. Read verse 12 again. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Example that He gave us, that He was willing to lay His life down for His friends, because we now are known as His friends, as He gets into the details here. And that's an example that we need to live by. Not by any example man out here would give us, but by the example that Jesus Christ gave us. And it's awesome when we see people down here actually displaying this kind of love. You see it on the battlefield. You see it in disasters. You see it in times of great need, where people are willing to sacrifice themselves or put themselves in great danger in order to benefit someone else. That's the kind of love that He displayed for us. Continuing in verse 14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Let's break this down a little bit here because it covers quite a bit. In verse 15, we are acknowledged as his friend. It's not that we have a impersonal relationship with Jesus Christ and God Almighty to where that we are just servants to be ruled over and dominated. We become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We become a friend with Jesus Christ. We become a family member with Jesus Christ. And he's able to call us friends, not just servants. And he reveals to us what his desire is. He reveals to us his will when it's talking about what they know. And Father, read 15 again. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. He has revealed everything to us that we need and want to know, and helps us live the kind of life that we need to live as Christians. In verse 17, these things I command you that ye love one another. As a result of loving one another, you will fulfill all those commandments of the Old Testament, and you will, as it says back up in verse 11, John chapter 15, verse 11 again, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So if you've lost your joy of your salvation, if you're no longer happy as a Christian, if you're going around in life totally miserable, it's because there's a love problem somewhere in your life. You have neglected to grow as close to the Lord as you have an opportunity to, if you'll take that opportunity. By studying the Scriptures and prayer, you can grow closer to the Lord. And by growing closer to the Lord, and you have that love that comes from God Almighty through you and shines into everybody that's around you. And if you have that kind of love, it's going to fill you with joy. Because it says that your joy might be full. Too many Christians like to think that you've got to be miserable as a Christian. You don't have to be miserable as a Christian. There's joy in being a Christian. Just like the missions letter that we just wrote about. Praising God for the problems that they've been through. Knowing that through problems you grow. You get stronger. You grow closer to the Lord because you grow more dependent upon the Lord. It's like the sermons we were talking about how people want to be all self-sufficient and independent. When we become so self-sufficient and independent that we don't want to depend upon the Lord, then we start losing that relationship with God and we start losing the joy of our salvation. So sometimes problems come upon you so that you realize that you need to turn to the Lord and depend upon the Lord. And as you do lean on the Lord more and depend more on Him, the closer you get to Him, and the more that love grows in you, and the more that love grows in you, the more that love shines around everybody else around you, and the more joy you have as a Christian. So stay connected with the Lord. How do you do that? Through reading the Scriptures and through prayer. We'll say, I ain't got time to read. Well, everybody these days got these cell phones, got these electronic gizmos of every sort these days, and these little earbuds or whatever. They can listen to the Word of God 24 hours a day. If they wanted to. And the technology of today takes away people's excuses from studying the Word. Because there are moments in your day, there are time in your day that you know good and well that you were sitting there idle, that you could have been studying the Word. If it wasn't that you picked it up and was reading it, you could have clicked it on, you know, spend less time on playing a game and spend some of that time on studying the Word. Less time watching TV, sports, or comedies, or whatever you like to watch on TV, and spend some of that time. You can pop in a CD or DVD that displays and reads the Word of God to you. Or if you're waiting in a hospital waiting on somebody that's having a procedure, or you're waiting on the doctor. Doctors are famous for this. I mean, you have a 10 o'clock appointment. You get there at 9:30 because they want you there a half hour early so they can take 5 minutes of that half hour to ask a couple questions. Then you sit down and you wait for the rest of that half hour. And then when 10 o'clock comes around, they call your name at 10:15, and you go in, they sit you in a room all you by yourself, and they close the door, and you sit there for another 30 minutes or 40 minutes while you're waiting on the doctor to come around. So what should have, could have, took 15, 20 minutes, takes an hour, 2 hours. Well, there's a lot of idle time there that you could have been sitting there with one of these newfangled electronic devices plugged up in your ear, and there you are listening to the Word of God, listening to it be preached to you, listening to it read to you. It is so available out there. And in doing so, you grow closer to the Lord. You grow closer to the Lord. You get more of that love. You get more of that love. That love overflows out of you into everybody that's around you. And you grow closer to the Lord and you gain that joy. And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that my joy might, that your joy might be full. So if you're miserable, get closer to the Lord. How do you get closer to the Lord? Studying Word and prayer. Verse 17 again. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If we love one another in the way that we should, the world out there is going to look at us, this group that really loves one another, and they're going to say, there's something different about that group. I want to be part of that group. Because they truly have a concern and love one for another. And that's an awesome testimony to the world, because they're going to be looking at, those guys are different, I want part of that, and come in. And it will have an effect on others. But if we're bickering and arguing and having all kinds of trouble, and the world sees that and they think, well, that's just like every other club that's out there, a bunch of people that can't get along. So that's a bad testimony. So it's critical that we have a good testimony to the world. Let's go ahead and continue here in verse 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. The world ain't going to like you, because when the world sees you as a Christian going through a problem and still smiling, still praising God, they're going to be envious of that. They're going to be jealous of that, and they're not going to like you. And when they see that you're living a good, clean Christian life and they're not, and they're going to feel guilty about their own sinful behavior. They're even going to accuse you of judging them because you don't do the things that they do. And they're going to hate you because you're a Christian. So don't think becoming a Christian, everybody's going to like you. They won't have them. In verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So if you're having trouble, if you're having trouble on your job, having trouble in school, having trouble wherever you might be, because you're a Christian and you're standing out and you have the love of Jesus Christ shining out, the devil hates that, and he'll encourage people to do stuff to cause you to feel bad and start withdrawing that and start becoming more worldly and looking less like a Christian and more like the world, so that you stay hidden and camouflaged in your environment. You're not benefiting the kingdom of God by hiding out as a Christian. Now, don't take this to the point where you're going to endanger yourself, like we know we support a lot of missionaries. There's certain times in a missionary's life that he cannot publicly confess Jesus Christ or he'd be killed. So there are times to shine out bright as a Christian, and there are times not to shine so bright because it'll result in your death. So you got to take some common sense in this. But don't become worldly. You can be in the world and not of the world. Continuing in verse 19. Remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted you, they will also if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep your words also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. When somebody comes after you as a personal attack because you're a Christian, it's not a personal attack on you. It's an attack on Jesus Christ by Satan. And you've got to understand that as well. Don't take it as if it's an offense directly to you, because it's not, as he says here. It's an attack on Jesus Christ. And know that Jesus Christ is going to fight that battle way more sufficient or adequate than you are going to be able to fight that battle. So relinquish the battle to Jesus Christ. Let him fight that battle, not you personally. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. There is no excuse for sin. It's been revealed to all mankind before their death. They have a decision to make, accept Jesus Christ or not. There will not be any excuse. And because Jesus Christ has manifested himself to all mankind in that, they will not have an excuse. No cloak for their sin. Verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. So there's another qualifier there where, there again, they hate Jesus Christ, they're hating God Almighty. You have religions out there that don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They say, oh, well, he was just a prophet. He was just a historical character that lifted himself up as important. Or they honor him as being a prophet and lift him up to that point, but don't acknowledge him as being Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Anointed One. They say that they have a relationship with God the Father. They lie. You cannot have a relationship with God the Father without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So there's no way to have a relationship with God Almighty without going through Jesus Christ. If they have a relationship, it's with an imaginary God or a made-up God or one of their own mind or one of the pagan gods, but they cannot have a relationship with God Almighty without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Simple in the Scriptures. And if they hate him, they hate God Almighty. Verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. Speaking of the experiences that he's already gone through there, that they had witnessed there in Jerusalem, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, all that, saw the miracles and turned away from it, did not want to believe the fulfillment of Scripture that was right before their face, giving them the teachings from that. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Letting the disciples know about the day of Pentecost that was coming up, when they would be able to receive the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. And we know today, in the process of salvation, you receive the Holy Ghost immediately. The Spirit of truth coming into you, which lets you know when something is right, something is wrong. Lets you know when you're off track. Lets you know when you're hearing something preached that is correct and in the Scriptures. Or lets you have an understanding of the Scriptures when you're reading the Scriptures. That Spirit of truth. The world cannot comprehend that. They don't know the real truth unless they know Jesus Christ. And he will, as it says, testify of him, Jesus Christ. In verse 27, and ye also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Just as he was teaching them to bear witness of what they witnessed directly, personally with Jesus Christ, we today have a responsibility as Christians to go out into the world and witness and testify to what Jesus Christ has done for us the relationship that we've been able to gain with Jesus Christ because of our salvation, because that we have the Holy Ghost within us now, we're supposed to witness and bear those fruits. And how do we do that? By having that love one for another, having that love that is actually of Jesus Christ that comes through us, spreads to all the world around us, and will fill us with joy when we accept it and stay tied into that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to be a Christian, to be able to become part of the family, to be able to receive that love, to be able to have that joy, that full joy that comes from being a Christian. Even when we're facing a problem, even when we're facing persecution, to still be able to go through that with that peace that passeth all understanding, as your scriptures tells us, and be able to have the comforter within us, that spirit of truth that gives us the understanding, gives us the knowledge, gives us that close personal relationship. It's such an awesome opportunity. Thank you so much for that. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.